You're listening to Power of the Cross Radio, where the message of the cross is changing lives. And now, it's time for a powerful word from Pastor Farrell Wilson, straight from the heart of God's Word. Brother Wilson is the pastor of the Lighthouse Church in Grenada, Mississippi. Now get ready to be encouraged and challenged by this sermon.
Matthew chapter 23, starting at verse 2. The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost room of feast, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the market, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Be not ye called Rabbi, for one of you is Master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called Masters, for one is your Master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And most importantly, verse 12 here, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Father, I love you, and God, I ask for a few moments you would help me to preach. I can't do this on my own. I need your help, God, every waking moment, and I most certainly need it in your pulpit. And ask, God, that you would give an anointing, you would give words, God, to speak that would touch the heart of your people. And we ask it in Jesus' name and say amen. I want to preach to you about the lofty place, the lofty place. Now, in these words here, Jesus is speaking to the disciples and the crowds, and not just the Pharisees that were there. And, you know, it doesn't go just to that time. It goes to every generation, even our generation today. And the warnings are there. Beware of trying to be seen. Now, a lot of this I'm speaking about ministers. I'm speaking to myself. But you have to also take into account your own salvation, your own sanctification. Be aware of the desire to be first. Be aware of the temptation to turn ministry into self-promotion. You hear me, pastors, if you're listening today or later on, be very aware of turning ministry into self-promotion. You know, the Pharisees, they loved to sit in Moses' seat is what Jesus said. That very lofty place, you could think of it as maybe one of these chairs up here on the stage. If you ever wonder why I don't sit in a chair up on stage, this is why. Years ago, I sat up on the stage, and I didn't think a whole lot of it, and I'm not saying that is inherently wrong. There are some ministries, JSM, you know, they can't very well sit out in the audience, and that, you know, that they're, what's in the heart is what matters. But for me, I'm able to get up off a chair and come right up here, and I've never, after reading these passages and taking it to heart, I've never felt very comfortable about sitting up here on the stage for that very reason. Because Jesus said, those that desire to be seen, those that desire that lofty place, you're going to be last when it comes to the kingdom of God. You know, we live in a culture now that, and it's really destroying the church, where people say, build your own platform. You don't need a church. I noticed one guy, his name is Catfish Cooley. Some of you may know him on the internet. Now, he was very brash, and I'd seen him one time. I knew he was popular, and I turned it off, said I can't watch him. But he got saved. And some things transpired in his life I won't go into, that, you know, things happen in life, and it was personal, and he aired it out in the public. I'm not going to go into it from the pulpit. But then I noticed, because of his sins that were open, he had started attacking the church he was going to. And I noticed in the comments, people, build your own platform. Promote your own brand. Make your name known. And Jesus warned us about this. Be very careful about promoting yourself. It's not wrong to promote the Lighthouse. It's not wrong to promote Power of the Cross Radio. But it is wrong to promote Farrell Wilson. It's wrong to promote your name. It's wrong to do something when the motive in your heart is to build you up and not build up Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, at the end of the journey, anything that comes out of our mouth as a Christian, and it's to do with ministry, especially ministers and pastors, teachers, evangelists. It should not be self-glorification. Everything should be done to glorify Jesus Christ. Here's the simple test if you want to know if you're glorifying Jesus Christ or not. When things come out of your mouth in the pulpit, who gets all the honor and glory for it? When people are speaking in tongues, when people are using spiritual gifts, who gets the glory for it? And it's very easy to see if you're giving the glory to God or yourself. I've actually seen people get in the flesh and using the wonderful gift of tongues to use it in the wrong way to glorify themselves. Here's what the kingdom of God says. You go lower and God will decide how high He lifts you up. Amen? Amen. You go lower, not in your character, meaning humbleness. I better clarify that, Brother Hartley. They might get the wrong idea. I didn't mean lower yourself in standards. I meant to lower yourself, to humble yourself, and let God decide how high you will be exalted. The point number one I have today, lofty places are dangerous when our hearts want the spotlight. Jesus said the Pharisees did their works to be seen of men. I see so much on social media now. It's a good thing to, like, feed a widow. And I, of course, I want y'all, if you're involved in it and you're helping support it, I'm going to send you a picture and tell her what she said to tell you. Thank you. But I'm not going to turn around and take that same picture and stick on the internet and try to get glory. Oh, look what the lighthouse did feeding a widow. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And that's what Jesus meant by that scripture. We don't have to get out there and exalt. Oh, look how good the lighthouse is. What is important is what God knows. God knows we fed a widow. You know we fed a widow. You know where some of your support is going to. We're feeding the widows and trying to help the orphans. That's what should be done. It shouldn't. I see so many people on social media, what could be a good thing of taking, like, feeding the homeless and helping people that are down and out. I noticed one child actor. I don't even know the name of the show. It's some kids show from years back, and one of the actors, unfortunately, the young boy has got a mental issue and he's living on the streets and he just needs help. But I notice people coming to his rescue, they got to make it about them. They got to lift their self up and show what they're doing to help him. That's not the way God handles business. Their motives are wrong. And not necessarily the ministry is wrong, but their motive, what you have in the heart. They love applause more than they love than obedience. That's the word I'm looking for. They love applause more than they love obedience. You know, a pastor once confessed, I'd heard this, he said, I realized I was more concerned with how my sermon sounded online than whether God was pleased or not. And he said it broke him, and he repented of it. He stopped preaching for reactions and started preaching for souls. And I have prayed that many times myself. God, don't let me preach it for a reaction. There's been times when I was younger, I would, y'all ain't gonna clap, you know, looking for people to clap. And, you know, if people want to clap, they'll clap. If they don't want to clap, they won't clap. Let God handle all that. If you get excited today about this sermon, great. If you don't, I leave that in the hands of God. I can't look for reactions. I have to search for souls. I have to be looking for souls. You have to be looking for souls. About your efforts as a Christian, what are you looking for? You know, ministry, even your Christian walk, can become idolatry when we want more attention than we want God's glory. Anything I do up here, God, let it be for Jesus Christ's glory. Don't let it be for me. And are we guilty of sometimes glorifying ourselves? Sure we are. We're humans, and sometimes we're, oh boy, look what I can do. Look what I've done. And that's where you have to come back to that sacred place, that alone time with the Holy Spirit. His brother Larry was praying, let the Spirit of God affect your life today. Why do I do what I do is the question we have to ask. Why do I do what I do? Why am I a Christian? Why am I trying to help people? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Here's a very important question. Would I still serve if nobody noticed me? Would I still serve? Would I still be a Christian even if nobody noticed what I was doing? I hope that answers yes, because that's where the rubber meets the road in Christianity. I love this one. Am I trying to be impressive or faithful? Humility serves quietly when no one is watching. Jesus said, "He that is greatest among you shall be your servant." That's what verse 11 says. If you want to be the greatest in God's kingdom, be the servant. It's completely opposite of what we're being taught in this world. Greatness in the kingdom is not found in titles, but listen to this, it's found in towels. And what I mean by that, when Jesus Christ was at the Last Supper with the servants, you got to understand in that area they had these dusty roads and they wore sandals, and it was very common if you come into somebody's house, the servant of the house, the hired help, would come and wash the feet of the people as they entered the house. And that's the job Jesus took on that night at the Last Supper. He was the one to wash the feet of the people at that Last Supper. What an example for us. And I've heard it said this way, we need more towel ministry. If you go to the Church of God headquarters, I've never been there. I want to go so bad and see this in Cleveland, Tennessee, and the headquarters out front. They could have a statue of anything, but they've got a statue of Jesus washing the feet of one of the disciples. You know, the Pharisees, they wanted titles. Rabbi, I want to be called Master. I want to be called Father. And it's no different today. We have preachers that want to be called Doctor. They will get very offended if you don't call them Doctor. Better not get around me. Because I'll call you Brother. I'll call you Pastor. I think the highest title, the highest honor you could give me is to call me Brother. You know, I have not got a big family. I've been blessed. You know, we sat around the table, filled the table up my house this year with my two sons, my two grandsons, my daughter-in-law, my wife, and me, and four canines. And we all sat, they're my family, they're my little children. And we all sat around and had supper. But I don't have a really big family outside of that, my mom and my brother. But when I looked at the picture from Thanksgiving, sitting all of us around at this tables down here, I was so happy. I smiled. I had been blessed with an extended family. When I say you're my family, I really mean that. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I look at you like you're my blood relative. We are a family here at the Lighthouse. One of the bigger things, the greater joys of a small church, is you can get to know people and be part of a family. And you can miss out on that. We're blessed to have a family. I'm not here for a title. You calling me Brother is the greatest. It just warms my heart when somebody calls me Brother and Pastor. It melts my heart when you call me Pastor, because I feel so undeserving of that. I don't feel like I'm worthy to even hold that title to lead people spiritually. So titles, that's what the Pharisees wanted. But my friends, as a Christian, we shouldn't be seeking titles. Jesus wants servants. That's what He wants. Jesus Christ wants servants. And we're coming up on 2026. What will your motive be in Christianity? I don't care what age you're at. Don't say I'm too old and don't say I'm too young. You don't say, well, I'm in the middle somewhere and I don't know what I want to do. We can do this. We can be servants in the kingdom of God. There was a church member that I'd heard about. She had cleaned faithfully for 30 some odd years of the church. Every week she'd come in, never asked for a dime, never asked for no hoorah about it, didn't ask to be recognized. Nobody really said nothing about it. They just always knew that the church was spectacularly clean by her efforts, and that's what her ministry was. She had no recognition, no microphone, nothing. No thank you Sundays. And when she passed away, though, something amazing happened. Hundreds of people stood up at her funeral, and they began to testify. I knew that lady was a Christian by what I saw in her, by the way she lived, by the way she served. I've seen those funerals like it. I know you have too. Somebody that has served Christ faithfully for many years, that had no microphone, nothing, and yet you hear the testimony of how that they were found faithful and their life was a ministry in itself. So what can we do? You can ask God, Lord, give me the heart of a servant, even if no one ever sees me.
We want to take just a moment to thank you for listening to Power of the Cross Radio. This ministry is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, would you consider giving a gift today? Every donation helps us continue to share the message of the cross around the world 24 hours a day. Visit us online at www.cross.radio and click on how you can help. There you can give by secure means. Thank you for standing with us as we bring Christ and Him crucified to the world. Now back to the sermon.
Next, God will humble what we build on pride. If you see in verse 12, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. Pride invites God's resistance. How do you know that? Because the scripture says so. God resists the proud. And we're living in the United States where pride is a movement. It is a movement now. Of all the things that just baffles my mind, is a movement that is so anti-God, so simple, they choose the name that the very thing God says, I resist. Pride comes before a fall is what the Lord says. God resisteth the proud, but it continues on and it says, but giveth grace unto the humble. If you want God to give you grace in your life, humble yourself before His mighty hand. There was a large ministry, and this story repeats not particularly the one I'm thinking about many times. It rose quickly. It rose to heights it started out something like this, and when just like the Lighthouse, maybe on a good Sunday here, and we got 50 people or so, and it started out like that, and it just abounded quickly, and they were growing and growing and growing. But their leader, the pastor, he become untouchable. He become uncorrectable and unaccountable for the things he was doing. And soon the sin was exposed, and it's out in the news now. I remember I talked to this young man years ago, and he seemed like a really nice fellow, and I don't doubt he probably had the right motives to begin with, but as time progressed on, the sin become exposed and now the ministry is falling. Not because God hated the ministry, not because He was doing the wrong things from the pulpit, it's because pride destroyed its foundation. I would rather stay a small church and stay in the Lord's will than I would rise to fame quickly and then come crashing back to the ground with sin exposed and having to deal with all that. Because sooner or later, you will be held accountable for God. But you know the smaller churches that have stood nearby, smaller and quieter, that keep preaching the gospel faithfully, God still uses them to restore broken people. I can say this about this church over the years, even people sitting in here this morning, God has used this little small church to restore lives. I could call you by name, probably every one of us would have to stand up, that God has used to restore broken lives. And some you may ever never even know about. Some we do. You're looking at one here now that God has used this church in different ways to restore broken lives. So ask yourself this before I move on. Do I resist correction? I've had this problem before in ministry. And I've had to learn that sometimes if it's biblical and it matches up with the Word of God, don't resist correction. Do I feel above accountability? And maybe this is more for pastors. Never arrive to the place you think you're above everybody else and you don't have accountability. You have to have some degree of accountability. And do I quietly crave recognition? Don't crave recognition. Recognition will only set up pride. You know, if any of those things apply to you today, the answer is what it's always been and will always be. Come back to Calvary. Come back to Calvary, and I promise you God will correct the things. Next, this is my last point, but I want you to really listen to this one. There's a sermon illustration that I'm going to give you that is so powerful, and I pray God help me to say this right and to bring the point home. This is so humbling when you hear this, what I'm about to tell you. I've never gave this story before from the pulpit. Verse 12, he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. We don't humble ourselves to be seen. We humble ourselves because we've seen Jesus. And this ministry example I'm about to give you hits so It hits dead center what I'm trying to drive home today. There was a young missionary couple, David and Sophia Flood. They left Sweden in 1921 to take the gospel deep in the Belgian Congo, what would be known today as Zaire in Africa. They were rejected by the tribe as soon as they got there that they had tried to reach. So they had to build a little small hut outside the village nearby, and they only got to minister to one little small boy who brought them food. Sophia, the wife, she led that one boy to Christ. That was it. But soon after she led that boy to Christ, she was taken with malaria, and she was pregnant at the time. And she had the child, a little girl named Maggie. And it was so hard on her, she died. Broken and bitter, her husband David, he abandoned the mission and went back to Sweden and spent decades angry at God. He drowned his sorrow in alcohol, become a full-blown alcoholic, and believing that his sacrifice with him and his wife was wasted. And their baby girl, Aggie, had to be adopted by an American couple, and she was taken back to the United States, growing up and never knowing the full story of her parents. She knew them, she knew the names, and she knew some of what happened, but she never heard the full story. And the little girl went on to Bible college, and she got married. Many years later, one day she went to the mailbox. She don't know who sent it. And there was a Swedish religious magazine there. She didn't have no idea who sent it, and she couldn't read the words. She couldn't speak, I guess, Swedish. But as she turned the pages, she encountered a photo that just stopped her dead in her tracks. And in this photo, there was a very primitive grave with a white cross. And on the cross, it said Sophia Flood, her mother's name. She jumped straight in her car and went to a college that she knew somebody there that knew the language, and they translated it for her. And this is what they said. He summarized the story and said it was about some missionaries who had come to in Deloro years ago. There was a birth of a white baby, the death of a young mother, and the one little African boy that had been led to Christ. And how after all the whites had left, that one boy grew up and persuaded the chief of the village to accept Christ, and he built a school there. And that school, every single person in that village got saved. Over 600 people received Christ in that village. The college that knew her and her husband, they just gave them a gift and said, "We want you to go back to Sweden." And she went. She went and found her father. And she showed him this magazine, and her father he was dying from alcoholism. I believe his liver gave out. And she said that her father began to weep, and he repented to God and turned his life back over to Christ. Here's the mind-blowing part of that. Wasn't enough. Years later, she was attending a high-level evangelism conference in London, England, where a report was given from the nation of Zaire, which was former Belgian Congo, the nation that her parents had been missionaries at. And the superintendent of the national church, he represented some 110,000 born-again believers. Think of that. He spoke eloquently of the gospel that was in his nation. And afterwards, Aggie just couldn't help herself. She went up, she said, "By any chance, have you ever heard of the name of the Floods that were missionaries?" "Oh, yes, ma'am, I know them quite well. I'm the little boy that your mother saved." I heard that story, and you know what? It helped me with this. We sit here day in and day out, and we think, "Oh, we're doing nothing. What we're doing never impacts anybody." I'm going to tell you, all it takes is one person that is obedient to God and humble themselves before His mighty hand and watch God do the work. The amazing thing is you may never see it all. You may never witness it with your eyes. But one day the seeds you plant today as a humble servant of God, if you planted them with the right attitude, with the right motive, it will bear fruit. It will bear fruit. I know in just the short time I've been a pastor, 18 years now, I'm working on 2 decades, I have watched these things I never thought would happen. I've had people come up to me and, boy, you know, Brother Wilson, that sermon you preached helped me. And I'm thinking nobody's listening. The devil's great at that. The devil will tell you all nobody's listening. Just look here. Nobody here at the church this morning, you're not getting anything done. But that's the furthest thing from the truth. If you will humble yourself, be obedient to God's Word, preach the truth, I promise you God's Word will never, ever, ever come back void. So, as I wrap this up, God remembers every unknown act of faithfulness, every time. And the call for us today is not to go higher, but to go lower. And when I say that, the cross teaches us that Jesus left heaven and took the lowest place on earth. You know, at one point Jesus said He didn't even have a place to sleep. He said the foxes have a place to burrow up in the night, and the Son of Man does not even have a place to lay down His head. Jesus humbled Himself all the way unto death to leave an example for us. And God highly exalted Him. Highly exalted Him. The way up in the kingdom of God is always down. Beware of loving recognition more than obedience. Seek the towel, not the title. Let God deal with the heavy lifting in your life. And stay small in your own eyes so God can bring big things into yours.
Thank you for joining us today on Power of the Cross Radio. We pray that this message from Pastor Farrell Wilson has strengthened your faith and drawn you closer to Jesus Christ. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at www.cross.radio. Until next time, keep your eyes on the cross, where victory is found.